Hi, everybody. It is. I gotta think of what day it is. I really don't know. It's Saturday, May, probably somewhere around the 24th, 2008. And I'm recording this on my new Olympus LS10. I thought that just for completeness and for information for those who don't know, I really ought to give a description of the machine and describe how it works. Fortunately, the workings of this machine aren't as difficult as for some other machines, such as the DS50 and some of the other machines that seem to be a bit more complicated in the way that they function. Although, maybe I'm just getting used to Olympus machines and I really don't think that this one is that difficult to deal with. What I'm going to do is just go around the sides and the face of the machine and describe what's what here. And there's going to be some noise as I go around touching buttons and such. I'm recording this at the low mic sensitivity because I like the fact that I can record and not get a lot of background noise. And so that's what I'm doing. First of all, we're going to start out with the bottom edge. I mean the part that would stand up on a table if you were actually standing this thing up and having it stand vertically like a person would stand. On the very bottom edge, the only thing that's on this little narrow edge is a jack for an AC adapter, which I don't have yet. I will one of these days get one. The left edge starts out from going from bottom to top with the spring-loaded power and hold switch. And this works very much like a DS50. Now, the only problem is you can't really tell when the thing is actually turned on. So you have to have something either that you can play or something. I don't know. But that's what I've been doing. I have my podcast theme, which I should be using and don't always remember to use, on this recorder in folder A. So that's the power switch. If you flip it up, it's in hold mode. Above that is a little door that I can't get it to close as snugly as it once closed initially when I got this machine, but it's a door to the USB port, and it just flips open. If you have the machine kind of standing up vertically, it flips open towards you. And it's just a little rubber piece. It's held on by one whole side rather than one corner. And near that, above it, is the volume for playback. And somewhere behind that, or in the vicinity, there is a little ridge that will allow you to open the place where an SD card would go. And so you have a choice within the menus whether you want to use an SD card or the internal memory, which is actually 2 gig. The volume for the playback and also for recording, both of these are little wheels that you turn with one finger. They're kind of difficult to move. What I tend to do is keep the recording volume up all the way, and that tends to work out. I'm going to check to make sure that that's what it is. Yes, it is. The recorder comes set up for manual volume adjustment, which means that you don't have an automatic gain control. You can turn that on, however, if you go into the menus. And by the way, this machine records directly to WAV as the default, 16-bit WAV. You can record in MP3 or WMA, and I believe I have mentioned that, or somebody certainly has. I think that might have been in Lynette's podcast. In MP3 format, you can record either to 320, 256, or 128. So that's how that works. Now, above the playback volume is the jack for your headset or headphones or external speakers, whatever you want. On the top edge, on the extreme left and right sides, are two stereo microphones. And these give a fairly good stereo image. You can go into the menus and you can adjust the type of image that you want. And it actually defaults quite adequately. You can adjust the amount of background and mic sensitivity, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit later on. I happen to have this on a quieter setting. And when you have it on the more sensitive setting, then it tends to pick up a lot of stuff in the room that you happen to be in. In fact, I could even hear some outside sounds that it was picking up. That's why I've got this on the quieter setting, because it really does sound much better and you don't get a lot of extra background noise. Between the two microphones on this thing is a jack for your remote control. And this is a separate device that is probably similar to the one that came with the DS50. And you can use this remote control to clip a microphone onto you or use it to remotely control recording and stopping of your machine. I haven't seen the remote for this machine, but I suppose it's somewhat similar to the DS50. When you go past the right microphone on the right corner of this machine, you start going down the right edge of the machine. The first thing you run into at the very top is the auxiliary input. And I haven't used the auxiliary input yet, but I'm sure it'll come in quite handy. Next is a jack for a remote microphone, and you can use this with any microphone that you want to plug in. And then the wheel for the record volume. Below that are two slide switches. The one closest to the top of the machine is the mic sensitivity. And I now have it in the down position. If I move it up, which I'm going to do, well, I see that I have mistaken my discussions of the mic sensitivity, because I had it in the up position, which means that it is probably picking up all sorts of background noise. And I'm correct. I've turned up the volume as I'm monitoring this. I'm going to move the mic sensitivity switch down. Now it's really down, and it's picking up just stuff that's close to me and my voice. So I see that I was mistaken on that, so I stand corrected. The mic sensitivity, if you're going to be talking just into the machine and it's going to be close by, you can leave it in the low position, which is the lower position on this switch. However, if you're going to be walking around a room, and as I said previously, in this mic sensitivity high setting, I could actually hear some of the cars on the street outside, and that was when the windows and everything were closed. So now I've got it in the low position, and I think it's much more suited to what I'm trying to do here. Below this mic sensitivity switch is a setting for low cut filter. And I have that in the lowest position because that's the off position. If I turn it on, it will cut out some of the lower bass, which I don't see any reason to be doing that, so I'm just going to leave it as it is. And below these two switches is a narrow rectangular opening, which is where you would put the handle or the strap that actually comes with the machine, so you can use this like a machine with a wrist strap attached to it. On the back, there are four little feet for you to set the recorder on a table, and these little feet allow you to put a recorder down and it won't move around very easily. And then the battery door, which opens up, it takes two AA batteries. Above that is the hole for you to put a tripod or some such item. I suppose you can buy one of those. I haven't gone on the site to see. And that's really all there is on the back. On the face of the machine, starting at the very top, we have a rather large screen, which is great. I can actually read some of the stuff on the screen with the Opticon. However, the image goes away within just a few seconds. I'd say about 8 to 10 seconds. So it doesn't stay on there very long, and there's no way to adjust it. Below that, on the left, is the stop button. And then in the middle is a peak meter, which is a visual thing. And on the right is record. Below that is the circle with the up, down, right, and left arrows. And in the middle is a button that is used either for play or for OK. Below that, or actually on the edge of the circle and around the 7 o'clock position, is the erase button. It works just like the DS50 erase. You push the erase button, you push up once, and then you push OK. And that will erase the current file that you happen to be on. That's usually the only thing I need to erase, and that's all I ever do with it. Below this are four buttons. The fourth one on the right feels different from the other three. And I'm going to see if I can remember what these buttons are. I think the one on the left is function. What that does is it allows you to set certain functions to this button. You can go into the menus, go down to the function list, and choose the function that you want this button to do. It will help you to avoid having to go into the menus every time you want to do something. So there are certain things that you can program this button to do for you. Next to the function button is, you know what, I can't even remember. Let me pause a second and check. Okay, the second button from the left is repeat AB, and this allows you to set up a repetition of a certain area of a file. I gather it's something like a loop, but I'm not really sure. I've not used it, but I've read about it in the book. The next one, third from the left, is menu. And this is what you push if you want to go into the menus and use the up, down, right, and left arrows to navigate and the OK center button to choose what you want. The final one is list. And this is the rightmost button. I gather this is probably how you switch from folder to folder. I've not had to switch folders. I usually just use folder A, and that's really all that I use. So that is a rundown of what's on this machine. As I have stated in my previous podcasts, and other people have mentioned also, this machine does not have any beeps, any sounds, any software associated with it except what's on the CD, it's a DVD that comes with this machine. And the DVD looks somewhat useless as far as I'm concerned. I don't see any point in dealing with it. So, there's no way to know immediately whether this thing is turned on unless you actually have something that you can listen to find out that the machine is actually working. My concern about this also is that when the batteries finally run out, there's no indication that they have exceeded their usefulness. And so I don't know how you're really going to tell what's going on with this machine. I have a little bit of nervousness about using this thing out in public because you can't tell whether something is happening. There's no beep, there's no sound, there's no audio of any type. And I find that really is a disadvantage. I suppose I can just get used to it. But there are situations when it would have been really, really nice to have had something. So, the only way you can really tell that this machine is turned off when you turn it off is to push the play button if you happen to have a file permanently in one of the folders. If you have a file there, if the machine is still on and you push play, it's going to start to play. If you have a file and the machine is off, obviously it's not going to do anything. So, that's about all I can tell you about this machine. As I said, there doesn't seem to be too much to it as far as the actual operation of the machine goes. I remember going on and on and on ad infinitum about the DS50 and all the stuff you can do with it and some of the other stuff you can do, for example, with the DS2 and the WS320. Those are the other machines I've got from Olympus. This thing is pretty straightforward. You just turn the thing on and you just start to use it. It's bigger. I would say it weighs about 5 ounces. In fact, I looked in the back of the instruction book at the number of centimeters, I believe it was, and the number of grams that it weighed. I ran all this information through my conversion routine on the PacMate, and it said that it probably weighs about 5 ounces. I would guess that this thing is about 3 inches tall and about an inch from left to right and about, I'd say, maybe a half an inch to 3/4 of an inch in thickness. So it's bigger, it's heavier. I would not want to hang this on a lanyard around my neck because I don't think it would feel very comfortable. Because 5 ounces really is quite substantial weight for something like this. But it's very solid, it's metal. You can tell you've really got something in your hand when you hold it, especially with the two AA batteries. And it's a good machine. I'm glad that I bought it. I may not use it quite as often as I think that I will. However, it is good to have it. And that's really all I need to say about it. So, just wanted to put my 2 cents in about this. And since I'm recording to a WAV file, I'll just go ahead and just take the WAV file, put it on my PC, and edit it with Studio Recorder. No need to convert from WMA to WAV. So that function is quite nice, although WAV files tend to be quite large, and it takes a while to move the thing to the PC. You don't get the 2-second delay. You get more like, oh, probably with this file, it'll probably be around 10 to 15 seconds, if not more. You can record up to about 3 hours in a WAV file because this machine has 2 gig of memory. And Studio Recorder will only allow you to edit 2 gig files anyway. That's a file limitation with Studio Recorder. So it's just as well that I can't record anything bigger with this machine. Now granted, if I wanted to use a WMA file format or an MP3 file, I could record directly to MP3, which would be nice. However, since I always need to go in and edit anyway, it makes sense to just record it to WAV and then convert it to MP3 after I'm finished with the editing. Okay, that's going to be about it for the recorder. I hope that I have described it adequately, and thank you for listening. If you want to contact me, you can at maryemerson@sbcglobal.net, maryemerson at sbcglobal.net, and my comment line is area code 206-736-7762. Bye for this time.